This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Sauden Ondume of the American Enterprise Institute, writing in the Wall Street Journal, his column in the Wall Street Journal, about the challenge presented by the People's Republic of China along the high Himalayas to the Republic of India, an ally of the United States. The challenge is profound. It's soldier to soldier, military to military, in what heretofore has been an undefined but generally understood 2,200-mile boundary. It begins with a challenge and a combat in the spring of 2020 and now leads to what look to be provocations along this frontier by the People's Republic of China. The one provocation looks simple enough. A village has been constructed of what I'm told are up to 100 homes, perhaps for the wives and families of the officers. But in any event, it does appear that China is trying to establish occupancy. A very good evening to you. Thank you, Sadanand, for this. Is this a major story in Delhi now, that China is pushing the limits of this undefined region? Good evening to you.
Very good evening, John. Yes, it is indeed a major story, and it's been a major story since last year. In fact, you know, we've been discussing this over the past year and a half. Essentially, what's happened is that the Chinese have brought in large numbers of troops in an attempt to remake the boundary between India and China by force. And the Indians have also built up with a large troop buildup of their own, including artillery, fighter aircraft, parachute regiments. And so you have these two massive countries with tens of thousands of troops, essentially eyeball to eyeball in the Himalayas.
Arunachal Pradesh is where the village is said to be under construction. And the Chinese presumption is that this is their territory and they're not leaving. India is not going to push them out. Was China surprised by India's intransigence to move aside? After all, China's had success in this methodology in the South China Sea, even against the Philippines. Occupy something and refuse to move and people back down. India has not backed down.
India has not backed down, but the surprise for the Chinese has been more in the vigor of India's diplomatic response. So, for example, India has made it really hard for Chinese companies to participate in government procurement. It's banned scores of Chinese apps, including TikTok. That's the most prominent about us, and WeChat. It has doubled down on its partnership with the U.S. and its investment in the Quad, which includes Australia, Japan, the U.S., and India. And so what India has done is it has upped the ante instead of backing down, and it has poured tens of thousands of its own troops into that border. So in that sense, I think the Chinese would have been expecting India to allow them to just slice away these pieces of territory and continue business as usual. On the other hand, India has not successfully, you know, rolled the Chinese back. The Chinese are effectively, from an Indian perspective, squatting on territory that India also claims.
The chief of the defense staff, General Bipin Rawat, has made remarks that are surprising, saying that China is a much bigger threat than Pakistan, saying that China is the enemy number one. Is that a reorganizing of India's national security focus after all these decades of the wars and the threat of wars in Pakistan?
I don't think the Pakistan threat has gone away. And, you know, this particular officer is sort of known to say, you know, things off the top of his head. That said, his broad point is correct. Pakistan does not have the economic wherewithal to challenge India in any meaningful way. It does have nuclear weapons, and it has the ability to arm and fund terrorists who operate in the Indian part of Kashmir and who also operate in the rest of India. But in the end, what Pakistan can do, you know, for a country as large as India and an economy as large as India amounts to pinpricks. China, on the other hand, is an almost existential threat because it has the muscle and the wherewithal to really cause much bigger problems. So I think to that extent, what the general is saying is absolutely right.
You report that in 1990, the gross domestic product for these two nations was comparable, 374 to 347, respectively. And today, there's nothing comparable, 12,000 per capita GDP of China, more than five times of India. Is that the problem? Is therein lies the inability of India to defend itself because it's lagged behind in development?
This is really the long-term problem for India. Because if you go back to 1990, both the countries had, you know, roughly comparable economies. And now the Chinese economy has far outstripped India's economy. Per capita GDP is about more than five times, almost six times, about five and a half times India's. And what that means in very real terms is that the Chinese are able to pour in much more into their military. So their military budget right now is about three and a half times India's. Now, obviously, with that military budget, the Chinese have to look at a lot of threats. They have to look at the, you know, they have to ward off the Japanese, and they have to sort of keep one eye on Taiwan, and they have to keep an eye on the U.S., which is a major power in the Pacific, and so on. But India does have the advantage of terrain in many parts of the Himalayas. But even so, because the Chinese economy has become so much larger, and because its defense investments have allowed its military to become more technologically sophisticated, the Chinese feel confident doing the kinds of things they've been doing. Nibbling pieces of Indian territory, squatting on territory, and just essentially trying to change that disputed boundary by force. If the Indian economy had been the same size as the Chinese economy, I would argue that the Chinese would have had to think twice before doing what they've been doing.
Does this confrontation suit the politics for Mr. Modi in Delhi?
It doesn't, but that's one of the reasons why a lot of what's going on and on that border is shrouded in obscurity. The government of India has not really been very explicit about talking about exactly how much territory that it claims that the Chinese have essentially taken since May last year. So the Indian position, if you look at it carefully, it expresses anger and it expresses disappointment at what the Chinese have done. But the Indians never really say clearly what it is that the Chinese have done. Because to accept that the Chinese have changed parts of the boundary by force would really affect Mr. Modi's domestic standing. So they're kind of like, you know, they're sort of in this bind where they want to play up the Indian response, which hasn't indeed been strong. It's been muscular. India has put many, many troops on the border. So they want to emphasize that with voters because that plays to the idea that Mr. Modi is strong. And there is some truth to that, to be fair. But they don't want to emphasize the fact that the Chinese basically did move in fast. They moved in by surprise. And in many places, or about four or five places, they have changed the contours of the line of actual control.
Does this confrontation move India to transform the Quad, which you report correctly is an informal grouping of America, India, Japan, and Australia, to transform the Quad into a national security body, as something comparable to NATO?
I don't think that's going to happen formally. So even if you look at the more recent Quad statements, the Quad really stays away from military talk, explicit military talk. However, if you look at what the four navies are doing together, for instance, in the Malabar exercises, that's not technically part of the Quad, but guess what? It's the four navies of the Quad countries, the U.S., India, Japan, and Australia, exercising in the Bay of Bengal. And so what you're seeing is de facto military cooperation among the Quad members And then you're also seeing bilateral and trilateral agreements among those Quad members becoming deeper. So it's this thickening web. And India, which was in the past a little bit aloof, a little bit more worried about being drawn too closely into that thickening web of relationships meant to basically ward off Chinese hegemony in Asia, India is now much more willing. It's moving much faster. In some cases, it's driving the engagement. So I think the Chinese have made a very, very big mistake here.
Sadanand Dumhe of the American Enterprise Institute, writing his column for the Wall Street Journal editorial page, I remind myself, according to Defense News from Delhi, approximately 50,000 India troops are already present at the border. India has deployed Pinaka multi-barrel rocket launchers, Igla-S air defense systems, Akash air defense systems, battle tanks, high-mobility vehicles in the region. The India Army is preparing for a rough winter facing a Chinese army equally deployed and well-armed. I also remind myself that, according to Sadanand's reporting, a new Chinese law passed just last month calls the country's borders sacred, in quotes, and inviolable, in quotes, signaling that Beijing is unlikely to return the territory it has taken by force. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.